Welcome to the Ghost Rap Podcast. It's fast, it's fun, it's informative. For more details on these stories and to make sure you get daily updates, visit ghostmail.co.za. The Ghost Rap Podcast is brought to you by Forvis Mazars, an internationally integrated partnership operating in over 100 countries and territories, including South Africa, delivering audit and assurance, tax advisory, and consulting services to clients. I've never made it a secret that I don't like buy-to-let investments. They are super hard work to manage, with all kinds of laws that protect the tenants. Laws that certainly do not apply to tenants in retail or industrial buildings, for example. It's also pretty easy for a residential tenant to just up and leave when the rent goes up, whereas the same cannot be said for a business. And in retail, there are turnover-linked clauses that allow successful malls to really ramp up their rental income. Again, no such luck for residential. Now, despite all these reasons why buying and renting out middle-class apartments may not be the easy path to riches, Baldwin has decided to venture into this space and its scale. They are planning up to 7,300 apartments over the next 8 to 10 years, which honestly gives me a headache just thinking about it. Of course, they are not buying to let, they are building to let, and I bet they would far rather be building to sell if they could. But with plenty of unused land and some difficulties in selling off all the developed properties at appealing prices, they are just trying to make the most here of a tough situation. This is why 20% of the current unused land portfolio has been identified for this purpose. I'm just not sure it helps Baldwin make its investment case stronger, and the share price has been one-way traffic for years, and not in the correct direction either. So that is a problem. Now, Baldwin might be struggling to sell apartments, but at least they aren't operating in literally a sunset industry. Over at British American Tobacco, it's all about trying to squeeze what they can from addicted smokers while building out what they very ambitiously referred to as products for a smokeless world. ESG consultants have been all over this thing, that much I can tell you. The plan to achieve £5 billion in annual revenue from the so-called new categories by 2025 is in doubt, with the company blaming lack of enforcement against illicit single-use products in the US, as well as the impact of leaving the market in Russia and Belarus. With organic revenue down 0.8% at group level, British American Tobacco can ill afford any wobblies in its growth story in the only part of the business that has actually been growing, that is the new categories. On an adjusted basis at constant currencies, earnings per share inched 1.3% higher. Now the market knows that this company will only manage very limited growth, with a focus on cash conversion and returning that cash to shareholders in the form of dividends and share buybacks. But still, a 1.3% growth rate really isn't enough even in that context. Another company that is finding growth hard to come by is Mr. Price, where comparable store sales for the quarter ended June increased by only 0.1%. Total retail sales were up 4.6%, with acquisitions explaining the difference. Mr. Price has been on the acquisition trail, buying up various retail chains and increasing the size of its group accordingly. Now, buying revenue, that's easy. Growing it organically, i.e. on a comparable store basis, well, that's a lot harder. The market generally saw this result as positive though, which I can only imagine is because of the sales acceleration in June after a very soft April and May. Even in that context though, Mr. Price finds itself in a highly competitive market that seems to only be getting more competitive by the day. I would tread very carefully here, especially in the context of Chinese competitors. We finish on another big name that is finding it very difficult to grow. Vodacom has released a trading update for the quarter ended June. The South African business has been around for 3 decades now and is mature, which is why revenue only grew by 1.9%. That is well below inflation and thus negative real growth. As I always say, I just think back to what I paid on a cell phone contract a decade ago versus what I pay now. And therein lies the problem for the telcos in this country. They've gone in search of growth in Africa as a result of that, which comes with its own problems, especially in terms of currencies. After the major deal in Egypt, for example, revenue in that country was up 43.7% in local currency. That sounds fabulous, right? Except it was actually down 7.2% as reported, because of the devaluation of the Egyptian currency. If this all sounds too familiar to you based on the types of issues experienced by MTN in Africa, then I'm afraid you are on the right track. I remain bearish on the telcos in general. And that's a wrap. Please remember that nothing you hear on the Ghost Rap Podcast should be taken as advice. Please do your own research and visit ghostmail.co.za for more insights into the market.